श्री भगवान उवाच अशोचन अन्वशोचस्त्वं प्रज्ञावादंश्च भाषसे गथासुम अगथासुंश्च नानु शोचन्ति पण्डिताः. The blessed Lord said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for that which is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord at once took the position of the teacher and chastised the student, calling him indirectly a fool. The Lord said, you are talking like a learned man, but you do not know that one who is learned, one who knows what is body and what is soul, does not lament for any stage of the body, neither in the living nor in the dead condition. As it will be explained in later chapters, it will be clear that knowledge means to know matter and spirit and the controller of both. Arjuna argued that religious principles should be given more importance than politics or sociology, but he did not know that the knowledge of matter, soul, and the supreme is even more important than religious formalities. And because he was lacking in that knowledge, he should not have posed himself as a very learned man, as he did not happen to be a very learned man, he was consequently lamenting for something that was unworthy of lamentation. The body is born and is destined to be vanquished today or tomorrow. Therefore, the body is not as important as the soul. One who knows this is actually learned, and for him there is no cause for lamentation, regardless of the condition of the material body. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Ashochan Anvasochastvam Pragyavadam Shabhashase Kathasum Akathasumscha Nano Sochanti Panditaha. The Blessed Lord said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. This afternoon we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 11. Herein, Lord Sri Krishna begins his instructions to Arjuna. Previously, we read that Arjuna is presenting many instructions to Sri Krishna. He is explaining so many very skillful arguments why he should not perform his duty and fight this great battle in the holy land of Kurukshetra. Krishna patiently stood watching, listening, but speaking nothing. Krishna explains in the Gita, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesher janatishtati brahmayan sarva bhutanam yantra rudani mayaya sarvasya cha ham hridishani vishtoma tasmiti rabhyanam upohanam cha vedaischa sarveraham eva vejo vedantakrit veda vedeva chaham. Krishna is seated within the heart of every living being. This body is considered to be a chariot. The human form of life, we are given this body, which is considered to be a chariot, which is meant to cross us over the battlefield of this material world, where there are so many disappointments, where there are so many reversals potentially before us at any moment. It is a place of birth and death. And no one can win this battle in this battlefield of material life, ultimately, however wealthy we are, however successful we are, however skillful, learned, and prestigious we may become within this world, ultimately we are all defeated by death. And all that's left of our body is a dead corpse laying on this great battlefield. But this human form of life is a chariot, which is meant to cross us beyond this battlefield of birth and death, material life, and bring us to the kingdom of God, to the self-realized place, our eternal home, the abode of Sri Krishna, where the nature of everything is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. All the great religions speak of this kingdom of God or Vaikuntha as the supreme goal, the supreme destination of all living beings. And the soul is like the passenger within this chariot. And the horses are our senses. And the reins are the mind, which is meant to control the senses. But the most important factor is the driver. The driver is our intelligence. And according to Shastra, intelligence doesn't come from our own speculative process of reasoning. The intelligence is coming from God. All intelligence is coming from Bhagavan. And that intelligence is descending through disciplic succession through the bona fide spiritual master into our lives. But as long as we think that we know, we are like Arjuna. The Lord who is within our heart, the driver of our chariot who is within our heart, simply remains silent, watching and waiting. Until finally we come to the platform Arjuna finally accepted. Shishyasti hamam satam paninam. That I, Krishna, I do not know. Please instruct me. And Krishna begins his instruction in such a wonderful way. Krishna is taking the position of Guru. Krishna is Jagat Guru. In a similar way, the representative of Krishna, the spiritual master, never speaks what he thinks or what he feels. He speaks the word of God. He repeats the message of Godhead. This is Guru. And actually, it is the super soul, the Paramatma within your heart, that speaks through the great sadhus to your ears. Because factually, we have lost our connection to the Paramatma within. Because we have been wandering around trying, through birth and birth and birth, trying to fulfill our own speculative ideas, our own concoctions of what is happiness, what is truth, what is the goal of life. In this way, our consciousness has been callous to hearing the sweet whisper of God's voice within. Because our senses are so externally situated, and our consciousness is so much just running through the senses looking for pleasure and purpose in our life. Therefore, Krishna is so merciful, he is so kind, that from within the heart, he speaks from without so that we can hear him. So Krishna here begins his teachings. Arjuna, you are speaking learned words, but you are a fool. You are lamenting for that which is not worthy of a sane man's proper understanding of life. Now, this may appear to be a very humiliating experience for Arjuna. After all, he was a very advanced, learned person. And he was very spiritually evolved, extremely Can you imagine how spiritually evolved Arjuna was? That he was the personal friend and associate of Krishna. He was the cousin of Krishna. They would eat together, joke together. They would lay together. They would travel together. This is evidence that whoever we are, whatever our position is, it is always accepted gratefully when someone in a superior position chastises us, corrects us to help us come to a higher standard of Krishna consciousness. And we find in the lives even of the great acharyas that oftentimes they are chastised by the Lord or chastised by their spiritual master. But that chastisement is very sweet, very humbling. Even in our own Gurudev's life, Srila Prabhupada, if you hear how he tells about his life story, what is the most relishable part that he loves to tell us about his first meeting with his Guru Maharaj, and his Guru Maharaj called him a fool, chastised him. At that time, Srila Prabhupada was following the nationalistic movement for trying to drive the British out of India. And certainly it was a very noble philanthropic cause. And he was very devout in this way of thinking. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, when they first met, that you should take this message of Sri Chaitanya and you should spread it all over the world in the English language. That is the greatest need. Srila Prabhupada, he said, he was speaking learned words, like Arjuna. He said, Maharaji, now is not the time for these spiritual discourses and spiritual training. Now is the time to fight for freedom. We're on the march. Gandhi is leading us on. Besides that, the English-speaking language is the prime language of the world. And so many distinguished countries, such as England and America, how will they listen? How will they take serious the philosophy and a religion of a country that is enslaved by other powers? First, we must establish the dignity of our own nationalistic cause and stand up in this world as an independent free nation. Then whatever we have to speak, people will hear with integrity. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati essentially, our Krishna, Prabhupada was speaking like Arjuna. And Bhakti Siddhanta, he said, in so many words, this is all nonsense. There is only one need in this world, and that is Krishna consciousness, God consciousness. Political parties throughout history have always been changing, and through the rest of history, political parties will be changing. We can see this in our modern life. Eastern Europe, Russia, there are so many. At one time, it was a monarchy. There was the Tsar. We're talking about the largest country in the entire world. First, the Tsar was in control. It was a monarchy. And then the communists just kicked them out and took over and became communist. And now the communists have all been kicked out and it's become, nobody really knows what it's become. It's something like a democracy. Huh? So in this way, politics are always changing. And it will always change, because what is politics? The outs want to get in and the ins want to stay in and keep the outs out. And no matter how noble our cause may be, if we still have an exploitative way of thinking, if we still have material desires in our hearts, then even if we conquer an opposing party with so many noble causes, we become what they were. We try to manipulate and exploit the innocent people. And this is how the world turns throughout history. The strong and the powerful leaders suppress the innocent. The weak revolt, they take over. And it's wonderful for a while, but then the weak, now they're strong. So then they exploit, manipulate, and suppress the weak. And after some time, the weak rise, and they turn over, and they become strong, then they become just as bad or worse. This is politics. This is nationalism. Therefore, spiritual consciousness is the most important and greatest need within this world. Krishna consciousness. This means to revive our original pure spiritual state of mind by which we understand that we are eternally the servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And cleansed from the heart is all of this manipulative desire to lord it over material nature. We are motivated by love, by devotion, by pure thought. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati explained that this is the great need of this world, and this cannot wait for this political change or that political change. It must be now. And Srila Prabhupada would tell us, with tears of love in his eyes as he'd be smiling, "My Guru Maharaj defeated me. And I was so happy to be defeated by my Gurudev." This is Krishna consciousness. Simply being willing to be the humble servant of Guru Maharaj. And here we find Arjuna being chastised by Krishna as a fool. "You are wrong." Arjuna, "Ha, very nice, thank you so much." And not only is Krishna chastising Arjuna, but he's publicly chastising Arjuna. There were so many millions of soldiers on the Kuru dynasty watching on one side. There were the Pandavas watching on the other side. There were all the demigods watching from above. There were all of the lower beings watching from below. It was a 360-degree amphitheater. Arjuna was right in the middle with Krishna. Everyone was listening. Not only that, but certainly Arjuna knew whatever Krishna speaks will be put in Shastra. Therefore, for thousands and millions of years to come, everybody's going to read about Krishna chastising me, calling me a fool. But Arjuna was grateful. He was happy. We want to be the servant of God. There's a story of Sri Advaitacharya, who is an incarnation of God himself. He so much wanted to be chastised by Lord Chaitanya. So much wanted. But somehow or other, Sri Advaitacharya was in an advanced position. Because he was Lord Chaitanya's guru's godbrother. He was initiated by Srila Madhavendra Puri. Therefore, and also he was a very older man, far older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya always gave him the utmost respect. He always treated him as an elder and a senior. But Advaitacharya was thinking that I want to be understood by the whole world and by the Lord himself that I am the servant. I am not anything but the servant of Mahaprabhu. So he would in so many ways try to incite Lord Chaitanya to chastise him. Because when you're chastised by the master, then the relationship is understood. So what happened is this. He began to give lectures. And he was such a powerful and great speaker that people from all around would come to hear him. And he was interpreting the absolute truth through the impersonalistic conception. He was explaining that the Supreme God ultimately is impersonal, formless, without eyes, without hands, without ears, without legs, without mouth. And we can all become God. We're as good as God in the ultimate state. Because he knew that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was Krishna himself, was teaching the supreme path of devotion to God, eternal devotion, eternal servitude. That is the highest principle of Vedanta. So people were coming to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, "Ah, do you know that Sri Advaita Charya, he is speaking monist philosophy? That we are all God? That there is no distinction? That God is formless?" Sri Gaur Sundar said, "No, no, not possible. My devotee, Sri Advaita, he would never speak like that. He's a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. He has heard the truth. No bhakta can possibly be interested in this philosophy of oneness. We want to be one in love. We want to be one in spirit of devotion. We want our will to be one with God's will. Mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana." But we are eternally the separated parts of Krishna. Therefore, we are jivara swaropoi nitya Krishna das. We are eternally Krishna's servants. Sri Advaita has heard from the bona fide parampara. He is as good as my guru. He would not say like this. No, no. Sriman Mahaprabhu was getting these complaints. "Please come, hear for yourself." So Lord Chaitanya went to attend Sri Advaita's lecture. And when Advaita heard, saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting in his class, with so much enthusiasm, he began to preach, "You are God, I am God, we are all God. Bhakti is good only... Bhakti is a nice thing. You serve the deity, you chant the holy name, you become purified, then no need for service, you become the supreme controller, the absolute." When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he became so angry, transcendentally angry. The Lord's anger is not like our anger. Why do we become angry? We become angry because our senses are unfulfilled. Someone gets in the way of our sense gratification, and that person deserves the wrath of God. Therefore, we become very angry. Huh? Our anger is based on false ego. But whatever qualities we have are in their perfect state situated in God and in his pure devotees. Therefore, when God or the pure devotees become angry, their anger is simply an intense method of teaching us a lesson. Just like sometimes a baby child is doing all nonsense, and the mother's not really angry, but she scolds the child, she pretends to be angry, for the child's sake, not because of her own frustrations. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon hearing Sri Advaita speaking this misinformation, he ran up to the stage and he began to beat Advaita with his own hands, slapping him, punching him. And Advaita was in ecstasy. He just started laughing and crying in divine love. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Why are you in such ecstasy?" He said, "Because today you have accepted me as your servant. Thank you very much. I am eternally your servant." And then Lord Chaitanya became embarrassed. He said, "You have tricked me." He said, "No, no, no. It is by your mercy that I have received this wonderful chastisement." So these are great personalities. There is another story about Sanatan Goswami. He is a Nitya Siddha of the highest order. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how Srila Sanatan Goswami, he was traveling by the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to Vrindavan in Mathura. He was supposed to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that place. But because, by the inconceivable will of the Lord, he was put in prison So many great souls have been put in prison. He was put in prison, and therefore he was late. And by the time he reached Mathura, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left for Jagannath Puri. So he began to travel by foot to Jagannath Puri, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing. And as he was traveling, he was walking through the Jharikhanda forest. In the forest, there was not much for him to eat and nothing to drink. So one day, to quench his thirst, he drank some water. But that water was highly polluted. Something like the water in Bombay. But even worse. So because he drank this polluted water, he became very much inflicted with a disease. And this disease caused, throughout covering his whole body, terrible, terrible itching sensation. And it created a condition where there was horrible smelling liquids oozing from his sores that were present all over his whole body. He smelled horrible, he felt horrible, he was in utterly painful condition of suffering. And he considered himself to be in such an offensive position that if I'm going to Jagannath Puri, first of all, I'm from a lower caste. Although he was a Saraswat Brahman, because he had served those of a lower order of life, according to true Veda culture, in the orthodox system of the caste system, for your information, if one of a higher caste in any way becomes a servant of a lower caste, he loses his caste. So actually in India today, everyone is casteless, if you want to speak from the orthodox point of view. So we should not be so proud. So he was considered, I was serving a Malecha king, therefore I have no caste, I'm casteless. Therefore I'm low. And I'm so abominable, I'm so contaminating due to this disease, that if the pujaris of Lord Jagannath in any way come near me or touch me, it will be a great offense to the Lord. And how can I come before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this state? Therefore, I'm the lowest creature in all of existence. I'm sinful, I'm suffering. There's no reason for me to continue living. While I go to Jagannath Puri, in that very, very holy place, I will devise this plan. During the Rath Yatra, when Sri Jagannath Dev, Balaramji and Subhadra are being carried in their chariots from Jagannath Mandir to Gundicha Mandir, at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be dancing and chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And all of those great Paramhamsa Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, they will all be gathered around tumultuously calling out, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. In that most auspicious circumstance, I will throw this wretched body under the chariot of Jagannath, under the wheel of Jagannath's chariot, and I will die in the presence of the holy name and the Vaishnavas. And then perhaps I will get a higher birth in my next life. This was his humility. And this was his resolution. So he was meditating in this way as he approached Jagannath Puri Dham. And when he arrived, he inquired from people as to where is the residence of Srila Haridas Thakur. And he went to the home of Haridas Thakur, and Haridas was so pleased to meet him Haridas is known as the Nama Acharya. He was constantly glorifying the holy names of Krishna. And he was one of the most intimate associates of the Lord. But because he was born from a Muslim family, the priests in the Jagannath temple would not allow him in. So therefore he never even attempted to go in. And Lord Chaitanya personally gave him his residence right close to the Jagannath temple. And all of the true Vaishnavas worshipped his lotus feet and accepted him as a Paramahamsa, a devotee who can deliver the whole world by his mercy. So what happened is this. They greeted each other, and Sanatan asked Haridas, "Where is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?" And Haridas Thakur said that he will be coming any minute now. And just at that moment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur both offered their dandavat, their prostrated obeisances. And Haridas Thakur said that this is Sanatan Goswami. He has come all the way from Mathura to see you. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to embrace him. And Sanatan Goswami said, "No, my lord, please do not come near me. Do not touch me. You see, I have all these oozing, terrible disease sores all over my body. And I'm such a sinful person. You should not touch me." But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forcibly embraced him with great love and affection. And he said, "My dear Sanatan, I am embracing you for my own purification. Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swami." He quoted Maharaj Yudhisthira when he was speaking to Vidura that a pure devotee of the Lord, a great Vaishnava, all the holy places reside in his body. He explained, because you are always remembering Vishnu in your heart, you are like a walking temple. Because you are always glorifying the Lord, you are a holy place. And then he began to explain that even if a person is born in a Brahmin family and has all the 12 qualifications of a Brahmin, and is a great learned scholar in the Vedas, unless he is a humble devotee of the Lord, cannot deliver anyone, even himself. But even if a person is born in the family of a chandala, of the lowest untouchable dog eater, if he is a humble, sincere devotee of the Lord, he can be the guru for all the universe and deliver all. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to quote so many wonderful slokas proving this point from the scripture. And he began to glorify Sanatana in such a way. "I am touching you, I am embracing you for my own purification. And anyone who even sees a Vaishnav like you will become purified." And we can see how Krishna is so merciful to you that he has delivered you from all material attachments. And he has brought you here. And Sanatan Goswami replied, "My Lord, I do not know what is Krishna's mercy. I only know by your mercy, Guru Maharaj, I have been delivered from the clutches of birth and death. I am like a wooden doll, and you are like the magician. Please make me what you want me to be." In this way, Mahaprabhu inquired from Sanatana about how all of the devotees in Vrindavan were. He inquired, how is their health? How is their Krishna consciousness? And Sanatana informed him that all the devotees are in very good health and they are all doing very well. He explained the various projects. Every day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to that bhajan kutir, which was named Siddha Bhakula of Haridas Thakur. Every day he would come to meet Haridas and Sanatan. Because since they were not allowed in to see Jagannath, Jagannath would come out every day in his form of Sri Chaitanya to meet with them, to give them personal darshan. And every day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would get the finest forms of Mahaprasad from Jagannath and personally with his own hands deliver it to Haridas and Sanatana. This is his love for his devotee. So as time was going on, one day, Sanatan and Haridas, they offered their obeisances as Lord Chaitanya came. And Lord Chaitanya began to speak. He said, if one could attain Krishna by committing suicide, I personally would commit suicide millions and millions and millions of times. But the fact is, this is a nonsense mental concoction. One can only attain Krishna by pure devotional service. And there is no other way. There is 9 processes of devotional service. Sravana kirtana smarana bandana pada sevana dasyare pujana sakijana atmani vedana. By executing these 9 processes of devotional service, one can purify one's heart and be becoming such a humble servant of the servant of the servant. And by properly chanting the holy name, which is the most important process within the path of bhakti, only through this way can we attain Krishna. Therefore, your idea to destroy your own body is all nonsense, and you are a fool. And then he turned to Haridas Thakur and said, see this man, what is his consciousness? He has already surrendered himself to me, therefore his body is my property. What right does he have to destroy another man's property? This is sinful. And you cannot attain Krishna by any sinful means, only by humble devotional service and chanting his name. So here we find Lord Chaitanya chastising this great Paramahamsa Vaishnav, Sri Sanatana Goswami. And how did Sanatana accept this? With great humility. Oh my Lord, he was thinking in his mind, you are not very appreciative of my plans. Therefore I am your servant. Whatever you desire. Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana that I have many great plans that I want to fulfill through your body. And this is the way the great devotees think. That we are not the doer. At the most, the greatest thing in our life is if we can become simply the instrument in the hands of the great souls. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left after chastising his devotee in this way, Haridas Thakur began to explain to Sanatan, you are so fortunate. You are so fortunate that the Lord wants to do so many wonderful things through you. He explained that we are not the doer. It is the greatest misconception. It is the root of all false pride to think that we are the doer and to think that we deserve credit for anything we do. A devotee understands Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma karataham iti manyate. The bewildered soul thinks himself the doer of activities. For a materialist, all his activities are just being performed. A materialist is just a puppet in the hands of the 3 modes of material nature, of Maya. Rajaguna, Tamaguna, Sattvaguna. The modes of material nature are simply changing in such a way to manipulate our consciousness, to manipulate all of our activities and desires. And we are just puppets in the hands of Maya. And the strings that keep us connected to Maya are our own material attachments. And in the spiritual sense, for those who are liberated souls or aspiring for liberation, they simply want to be the puppets in the hands of Krishna and his eternal servants. Therefore, they take credit for nothing that they do. We give all glory, all credit to our spiritual master, who in turn is giving all of that credit to Krishna. That is parampara. The spiritual master is the viceroy. He is the representative of God in this earth. But how does he represent God? Not by becoming God, by becoming the transparent via median, the servant of God, delivering the mercy of God and receiving our humble offerings and offering it to the Lord's lotus feet with love. Therefore it is said, Sakshad Dharit Venasa Masta Sasraya, that one should respect Guru the way one respects God, knowing that whatever respect we offer is going to Krishna. But the Guru, the disciple, nobody should dare think that they are the doer of their activity. We are all instruments. We are all aspiring to be the puppets in the hands of God. That greatest of all acharyas, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who took the true essence of Vedic teachings and spread it throughout the world and transformed millions of people's lives like never before done in our history. In his writings, we were reading yesterday, he was simply considering himself to be the puppet in the hands of Radha and Krishna, the puppet in the hands of his spiritual master. Nachao, nachao, my dear Lord, I am a puppet in your hands. Make me dance as you like me to dance. Make me dance. My dear Guru Maharaj, my dear Krishna, please let me not speak a word for myself. Speak through me. Let me only repeat your divine instructions, for then I can do real service to humanity. Whatever wealth we have, whatever intelligence we have, whatever expertise we may have, whatever prestige we may have, as soon as we think it is ours to give, we will be overcome by Maya. But if we understand, Krishna, it is yours. Just like we go to the river Ganges and we take the water from the Ganges and we offer it back to the Ganges. If we offer it with love, we attain the perfection of life. But if we think, oh, Mother Ganges, see what a wonderful soul I am. See how I'm helping you by giving you extra water. Without me, how will you survive? Huh? The Ganges does not need our water. But she appears to need our water. Because by taking from her and offering back to her in humble expression of service and devotion, we become purified and she becomes satisfied by that offering. So everything belongs to Krishna. Sarava Loka Maheshwaram. All planets and everything within all planets are the property of God. Therefore, really, what is devotional service? Devotional service simply means a change of consciousness that we take from Krishna to give to Krishna. And whatever apparatus we have to give with, it is all coming from Krishna. It's just surrendering to be a part of his lila of love. And to give all credit to Krishna, that is the perfection of life. One time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. He said, "Sarvabhauma, it is morning now. I will come to accept prasad from you this afternoon." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife, they began to cook. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, there was just hundreds of preparations. They all had such aroma and such flavor and such beauty and color. This offering in such a wonderful way. Lord Chaitanya was struck with wonder. He said, "My dear Sarvabhauma, how is it possible? It would have taken 10 Brahmins 10 days to cook this much prasad. How have you done it with your wife in just a few hours?" And what was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's reply? He said, "My lord, we have not cooked it. He for whom it was meant for has prepared it all. We only carried the ingredients." In other words, "My lord, you cooked it all. But you are so merciful and kind to us that you allowed us just to be carrying these ingredients." What is the consciousness of the true devotees of the Lord? So we find Haridas Thakur explaining this principle to Sanatana Goswami. And Haridas Thakur, such an exalted Vaishnava, he is saying, "Sanatana, you are so fortunate. You are so lucky that by the causeless mercy of the Lord, you have been chastised by Him. You have been corrected by Him." This is the reciprocation of love. So if in this most exalted Leela of the highest saints, we learn this, we should be very grateful that when any senior Vaishnav decides to correct us or chastise us, we should be so honored and grateful that this attention is being showed to me. We find that first Lord Chaitanya praised Sanatana by saying that, "I'm touching you just for my own purification." And after setting him up with such a incredible glorification, then he said, you are a nonsense, sinful man. Huh? It is said that Krishna and Guru, at times they can be more soft than a rose with sweet, encouraging words. But at another time, according to what is needed by the disciple, they become hard like a thunderbolt. That thunderbolt crashes through the mountain of our false ego. So in this way, a devotee accepts whatever comes from senior Vaishnavas as the mercy of Krishna, and is grateful, and acts accordingly. And by this humble disposition of mind, we can become like Sanatana, we can become like Arjuna, we can become like Srila Prabhupada, and we can receive the highest truth, and we can receive the divine blessing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and become His perfect instruments in this world. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Is there any questions?